Hope it'll be an encouragement to all of us. I feel like I'm still learning it. But earlier this week, I was reading in Numbers, and you don't have to go there. I'll just read you some of the things I jotted down. But it was in the work of the tabernacle. The Kohathites, they were supposed to pack up the utensils. The Gershonites, they were to bear the curtains and the coverings. And Merari, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, they were to bear the boards, the bars, the pins, the sockets, and the pillars. I just got to thinking about how God designated each of these different families to take care of different aspects. And one family wasn't not to do the whole thing. It was a cooperative effort, and working together is my message this morning, that we would have a vision of what it means to work together, to be workers together, and also to recognize the value and the importance of being able to work together and be together. There's also a verse I wanted to get in starting out in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. It's talking about the what stood out to me that I really hadn't got a hold of before, at least I don't remember. But in verse 1, he said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Okay, I want to stop there. Now these verses, it's talking about lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. These are all preceding the part where he talks about the different gifts in the body. And I've always read this before, but it just stood out to me that he's talking about the different gifts for the perfecting of the saints in the body. And so when there's an exercise of gifts, we have to be patient, long-suffering, forbearing. I know when raising my family and doing some work, there's always a temptation to just go do it and get it done quick, because I know how to do it. But to teach my son how to use the saw, or the other day I guess it was Kiki teaching her how to use the miter saw, it takes time, and it takes energy and effort, and you think, well, I could have already had it done and and been a done deal. And then when they cut it a quarter inch short, you got to figure out, compensate, or do something to get it fixed. So this is where all this forbearing with one another is. And any time we're learning something new is the point where we're going to make mistakes, because we're learning it new. Once we've done it, once we begin to practice it over and over, we get efficient, we're able to do that. But there's a space, and this is proceeding, he said, endeavoring to keep the unity with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. It's so valuable for us to learn the different things in life. And I think about sometimes children that are growing up today, They know how to play the computer games. They know how to watch TV. They know how to do their thumbs on the phone real good. Make me look uncoordinated. But they don't know how to go fishing. They don't know how to plant a garden. They don't know how to do the basic things of life. And I think about when they get to be young adults, what are they going to do if they haven't learned? What are they going to do if someone hasn't taken time to show them? It's going to be much more difficult. I remember as a young child going with my grandfather a lot of different places, and I learned a lot of things. I learned a lot. He'd go work on rental houses and different stuff and plumbing and all kinds of stuff, and I would learn because I was there with him. I observed and I seen what he did. I watched him. And I'm a visual learner anyway. It's easier for me to see it and pick it up than it is to just get it out of a book. But we need those experiences. They teach us and they're valuable to us. And I want to encourage us this morning to learn to work together. Learn to create to cultivate a togetherness in our families, in our homes, in our relationships with one another. It's so important and valuable to us. Even though maybe we might get by being able to do something ourselves, if we do it together, there's so much benefit. And I want to get some more scriptures. Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter. And this brings it out real well. Ecclesiastes 4. And I'd like to read starting at verse 7. He said, "Then I returned and I saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother. Yet is there no end to all of his labor." Now I want to drop down to verse 9. He said, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken." If we have this togetherness, if we have this idea that I need your help and you need my help, and I want to say this morning, God has blessed the body with different gifts, different talents, different strengths, but He hasn't blessed one person with all of it. You may have several gifts. You may be very, very talented, very, very gifted. But I got news for you. You don't have all of them. And you're going to need somebody's gift sometime or another. You're going to need somebody else's help. And he looked at here and he said, "I see this one, he's laboring, but there's no one there that he's laboring for. There's not a second. He doesn't have a brother." And then he said, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. If one falls, the other one's able to help him up. But if he's by himself when he falls, then he's in trouble. Then he's in difficult place. And he goes on, he says, "If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." You know, working together, we can develop that threefold cord. We can entwine where it's something that's much stronger than just the one individual part. And I believe that's the way God has designed the body, is that we need each other. We need one another's input. And God can bless us if we have that more. Also in the book of Ephesians, where we were at the fourth chapter, he goes down in verse, he talks about the perfecting of the saints. Let's see if I can find it. Verse 16 is what I'm looking for. He said, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. He mentions, he says, the body fitly joined together and compacted, and it says, by which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You see, there's increase when we're joined together. When we're working together, there can be an increase because I'm receiving the things that I lack. I'm receiving from you. And the things that you may lack in your life, I may be able to provide some of those things. And it makes us strong. We don't want to feel belittled or second place or just because somebody has talents that we don't. We don't want to feel left out because you have talents most likely that they don't have. You know, they can look at you and say, boy, I sure wished I had those talents. And then they're looking at you and said, I wished I could be more like them. But when they're together, when there's a unity, a working together, and there's an imparting to one another, then they both receive from one another and they're strengthened. And God is able to bless and help that. I remember in school, and I played sports, which I want to make plain that I don't recommend that, going into sports. I feel like that's the wrong direction. But I learned there was a lesson. There was teams that we played, and I'm thinking of one particular, Tulsa School, in basketball. As far as the natural ability goes, they should have wiped us out every game. They could jump higher. Everybody on the team, on their team, could dunk the basketball. Just about everybody on their team could dunk the basketball. Hardly nobody on our team could dunk the basketball. But you know, we played well against them because we worked together as a team. We were patient. We looked for the good shots. And we supplied to each other. We worked. We weren't ball hogs. We were working together. And we could play with them, even though physically they should have just wiped us off. When there's a togetherness and a unity, we profit by it and we win by it. And God is able to bless in those things if we submit and look to each other and recognize there's nothing wrong to be able to say, I have a need. I have a need in this area. There's nothing wrong with that. It's important for us to recognize our weaknesses and our strengths. And I believe God has provided husbands and wives together. They have insights. They're able to work together when there's a pulling together, a working together. Those two different perspectives, they give you strength and they give you help. If it was just one-sided all the time, it'd be blindsided. But you're able to work together in those things, and God is able to bless and help. And I thought about it's so important for us to try to do things together as much as we can. I know we can't be together all the time, But as much as we possibly can, try to do things together and work together. There's a scripture I read in Proverbs. I'm going to read this out of the Septuagint. But it says, "Let thy loving heart and thy graceful colt company with thee." It's talking about your wife. "Let thy loving heart and thy graceful colt company with thee, and let her be considered thy own." Let her company thee. It's speaking of a togetherness, a bond. And that's very important and vital for us. Yesterday we went to a flea market. And we enjoyed walking down from our house to the flea market there in Lahoma. And Charlotte saw something she wanted. And she benefited by having her big sister there, who had some bargaining skills. She was able to get what she had there cheaper at first. Kristen wasn't going to go. She was going to stay home, had other things to do, but she changed her mind and said she came. And another thing, she had the cash. We didn't have very much cash. But Charlotte was able to get what she wanted because Kristen had some skill and insight, and she was blessed by it. If she wouldn't have been there, she probably would have paid the full price. Well, she wouldn't have got it because I only had about $5, I think, in my wallet. You see how when there's a togetherness, a working together, we all profit. And we benefit by it. Now let me give you another example. And I've had these just recently. That's why I feel like the Lord's been directing my mind this way. I went to an auction, kind of looking for a small tractor. And lo and behold, Matthew, at first I was going to go and look. And then I got a text from Nathan said, "Are you going to go to the auction?" And I found out that Matthew was going to go through Nathan. And so I went. And I'm so glad Matthew was there. I haven't been to very many auctions. But we were able to talk and we looked things over together and we talked. We went around and talked and looked things over. And he bought some things. But I noticed in the process of this whole deal, I noticed one, and it was a pretty good sized purchase, but I noticed his son was there with his father, and they were talking about what they were bidding on. And they were bidding on it. But he was conversing back and forth with his father. And then there was another man, I guess a friend, but I know one was his father because he called him dad. But there was another man, and all three of them were conversing together about this bid. Very profitable. Very valuable. And they ended up, they got what they were bidding for. And it happened again another time. They were bidding on a combine. This guy, $85,000. That's a pretty big expenditure. And he was a young man. And he looked nervous. But you know what? He was on his cell phone. He's probably talking to his dad or his grandpa about what was going on because he'd talk a little bit and then he'd make his bid. Maybe tell him what was happening, what was going on. So he had some communication there. Very valuable. Now let me tell you what happened to me. I already told some of you. Matthew and I had looked at this tractor, and he thought it was a nice looking tractor. And so, but he said it had, he called somebody that knew tractors, but it had a lot of hours on it. lot, a huge amount of hours on it. And so kind of discouraged me. I thought, well, just, But then I got to thinking later, I got to thinking, well, if I get it real cheap, maybe it'd be okay. I get it real cheap. So anyway, this tractor's here. Matthew gets tied up on he's tied up talking with this other guy, and I kind of walk ahead to where the auction's going on. And I just enter into the bid thinking I'm bidding on this tractor. I thought, man, this thing's going pretty cheap. And so somebody else was bidding. I bid probably two or three times. And I finally got the bid, and I thought, wow, that's a good deal. Can't wait to tell my nephew. But when I started to walk away, they mentioned the name of the tractor as coming up for the next bid. I just bought a swather that I really didn't know anything about. Here I've got this swather. Got to get it home. You see how valuable it is to have two together? If Matthew would have been right there with me, he could have said, hey, Bob. And you know what? I can't, half the time, I don't understand where they're at on their figures. You know the way they auction, they gibber out their numbers. Half the time, I've got to stop them and say, where's it at? Say the number out instead of all this deal. But if I would have had Matthew there, that probably wouldn't have. I'm hoping that will turn out to be a blessing anyway. Maybe to somebody. But two are better than one. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. And I saw that there at that auction so well. Fathers and sons and friends that were working together. And they benefited by that. And we will benefit in life if we learn to work together and learn to seek counsel from one another and ask. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Sometimes, remember back in the school days, the teacher would ask a question, and how many hands usually went up? Hardly any. Afraid. Afraid to have the wrong answer. Wasn't quite sure. Don't be afraid to ask questions, to get input. What's your thought on this? What's your perspective? How should I do this? We all need that in our lives. If we don't, we'll be more apt to fall and fail and come short. Also, another thing I noticed in the reading there in the book of Numbers, the priest, it said over and over, their terms was from 30 years to 50 years. That's how long they served in the physical labor of moving the tabernacle between the ages of 30 and the ages of 50. When we get older, things change. And we've got to realize that. Lord, help us to realize that. We've got to adjust. You can't continue to do the things that you did when you were back in your 20s and 30s. Things begin to change. But there's still a need for the older ones. But it becomes more of a counseling role, more of an example role, more of a support role. See, the young, they have the energy, they have the hope. They're looking forward to, But one thing thou lackest, and that's many times experience that those that have gray hairs had. And if you're linked together, if you're walking together, so many times young people will just turn off their family and turn off their grandparents and their parents, just turn them off, and they go and do their own thing. They fall. They fail. That's setting yourself up for failure. But if you can take their 50 years of marriage, their 60 years of marriage, their 70, 80 years of living life, and you can couple that up with your energy and your vision, it's not easily broken. There's strength there. There's sustenance there. But if you just go it alone, and I'm going to do it my way, you'll fall and you'll come short. God, help us today to try to cultivate a togetherness of doing things together, of being together, spending time together, working together. God will bless that. He'll honor that. And I feel like, seems like the older I get, the more I, maybe because it's I'm just getting older. But I realize the value of it. You know, I know my cabinet jobs, I tell you, doing it by myself, it just, I'm getting to where I had trouble with my elbows. Nathan comes along, he just picks the thing up, sticks it up there. No problem at all. And I hear I'm straining and sweating and holding it. He's been a big blessing to me. And I'm sure I've been a little bit of trial to him. Because I'm a little slower and more of the perfectionist type. But see, that's where it talks about endeavoring to keep the unity. Walking with in all loneliness of mind. That's right before the different gifts and the different strengths. Lord, help us today to be willing to offer our gifts, to share our talents, to share the things that God has given to us. When it's compacted together and there's a spirit of togetherness, when the husband and wife, when there's a together in unity of mind and spirit, there's a togetherness of working together, God is able to bless and He's able to help that. I just want to encourage us all today on working together. Work for that. Working together. Doing things together. That's a real blessing in our lives. Appreciate your attention this morning. Yes. Which one? It's actually the one in it's actually, we had it also in Sunday school. I didn't read you the last part of what the Septuagint says. It says, let thy loving heart and thy great graceful colt company with thee, and let her be considered thine own, and be with thee at all times. That's what the Septuagint says.